Everyone, welcome to a very special edition of Tunnel Vision. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, joined by legendary sports columnist here in Los Angeles, Bill Plaschke. 25 years at the LA Times, I think 8 times the AP National Sports Writer of the Year. You can see him on Around the Horn. Lots of philanthropy work with kids, big brothers. I've been a big brother myself in the past, so great stuff. But Bill, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. You're the legend. I love you, your outfit, your staff. Keeley's tremendous. Shotgun. The shotgun ever, but I saw him once without a cap on, and I didn't recognize him. So is that a rule he has to wear his cap on backwards? Is that a
rule? That's his thing. He always wears like a tie and everything.
That's the thing. He's the best dressed guy in the press box. Then he tops it off with the backward cap. For years, that's been his thing.
He's a baseball guy. He loves it. But he works over with you guys at the LA Times.
He's tremendous. No, you've got a great – I'll follow your Twitter feed all the time. It's tremendous. It's a go-to place for USC stuff. Well, so good job.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that.
And you thought I was an old man who didn't follow that social media stuff.
No, you do.
I follow you guys. You guys are consistently a must read.
It's funny. So I got to run into you a month or so ago. Our mutual friend and your former colleague of mine, Lindsay Theory, her wedding. And here, let me put a picture up of this. Yeah, look who's running the show there for Lindsay and Todd. I play volleyball with Todd and know Lindsay for a while, but you got to be the officiant for the wedding.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was the most scared I've ever been in my life, because on Around the Horn we can bust it doing live TV. It's no big deal, but this is like the most important day in their lives, and I had to kind of moderate it. My knees were shaking. I was scared to death.
Well,
she was there. She was beautiful. He was great. It was fine.
Yeah, you did an awesome job. That was fun. And, it was fun because, being in the sports media world, a bunch of sports media people there, like Gary Klein, people that, you've worked with or you've known from sports over the years. But it was really cool. I didn't realize you were going to do the way. But then we started talking a little bit and I was like, oh, we should have during the off season. We tried to do these. We started doing it during the pandemic. Kind of do these shows where it's just not necessarily like a USC person, but just talk to someone interesting in sports.
So I'm your pandemic guest.
We've had we've had guys like Matt Leinart on, because he played at USC. But then you get I got Alex Michelson on from the Fox 11 because he went to USC and just kind of talking about what they do. But I mean, you doing this for 25 years at the LA Times this past year. I mean, was that the craziest one with all the COVID stuff going on? I mean, you had a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, I've actually been to paper 34 years. I've been a columnist 25. I know it's crazy. I've been here so forever. And in case anybody's wondering, the reason Lindsay and I are close is I first became aware of her when she worked for you. And she was I was so impressed with her, impressed with your outfit and your operation and the way she asked questions and her toughness. I became one of her mentors because of you guys. So you guys are kudos to you guys for launching her career. You launched a lot of careers on this thing.
We tried it, but people that move on. A lot of the broadcast journalism students from USC. Now Lindsay came from
Seattle.
She came up from Seattle down, but then she was working at a TV station in Montana. And we were on the same beat, and then we both ended up being at scout.com for a while, and then she left for the LA Times. But it's been great to see her and then, going on to ESPN and everything. So here we got a picture of you guys working together back when she was at the LA Times. So
LA Times, we stole her from you, and we insisted that we hire her because she was so tough. She's made herself a great journalist, a great writer. I'm so proud to know her.
Yeah, it's been great. Getting back to the, you're 34 years at the LA Times, but 25 as the columnist. Like, was this the, that 2020, was that the craziest year you've covered sports in?
Yes, and it was the worst year, absolutely the worst year, because I'm used to being on the field, in the locker rooms, talking to the athletes. I didn't talk to this day, there's people from the members of the Dodgers, new members of the Dodgers, who I don't even know. They've been there a year. I barely have talked to Mookie Betts. You know, you didn't get to any USC, couldn't talk to any USC kids in person, any UCLA kids in person. It was really hard. And I think sports fans in general turned off of sports because they couldn't talk about it. They couldn't read about it. They could read about it, but they couldn't go to bars. They couldn't go to games. They couldn't, it lost its communal aspect, sports did. And I think that just hurt their whole sports world. Ratings were down for a reason. It was just, it was really bad. It was the worst year ever. I would say that.
It's hard to look back at the, when there was just some golf tournaments going on, or they would put pickleball or some, cornhole on ESPN. Like, it was just
horrors. How about the game of horse? That was horrendous.
It was just a bad, bad sports year. But just being back now and the state just opened up, it's nice to see all that stuff. It's nice, too, when you get local teams doing well. Obviously, the Lakers winning last year, the Dodgers winning. But now the Clippers have a real chance. We're recording this on Friday, late afternoon. So the Clipper game will be starting a little bit later on. But you had a very prominent question in there about, when Paul George went off in Utah, the playoff P question. So I thought that was a cool one.
Yeah, no, he'd been talking about being playoff P forever. And I just asked him, is this what playoff P looks like? And it's the first time anybody asked him the question. And since he got to L.A., I was stunned. He looked at me like, sure. So he was not. But, yeah, the Clippers are an interesting team in that most of L.A. is not cheering for him. And I find that to be so – I can see being apathetic toward him, but I can't see just hating on him. And LA fans just hate on the Clippers, and I don't understand that.
It's a weird one. And I'm a transplant. I moved here in 1989, when I came to college, and the Clippers were playing at the sports arena. So I I came from Boston, but I wasn't really a Celtics fan because I had moved there when I was 11. But I always liked the LA team, so if the Clippers are winning or when the Angels won, that was cool. I didn't mind. But it is weird. A lot of the diehard Laker fans definitely don't like the Clippers.
No, I think when the Trojans were really good under Pete Carroll, I think UCLA fans, either they ignored him or they thought it's kind of cool. It's LA.
Yeah.
It's LA winning. They didn't hate him. And I think UCLA basketball captured everybody's imagination this year. Even USC fans having lost out in the tournament at the very last minute, I don't think they hated him either. But people just hate the Clippers, and I don't know what it is.
We'll see. I'm rooting for them. Hopefully they can make a run here, especially if Paul George is out for a while. That'll be an interesting one. Chris Paul, yes. Chris Paul being, with the COVID protocol stuff. You had to go through that yourself. How was that for you, having to
go through it? It was terrible. I'm lucky. I'm really lucky because I didn't have to go to the hospital. But it's just the fear. I was sick for I was sick for 2 weeks, but really sick for 5 or 6 days. And it's just the fear because you call your doctor and say, what can I do? I got 103 temperature. He said, nothing. I said, what can I take? He says, I don't care. Take whatever you want. It's not going to work. I mean, that's the thing about COVID is that people don't, for even somebody like myself who got it and didn't have to go to the hospital, the fear that you can't fix it. And that the next cough could be your last. It was bad. And I had much more mild than anybody. I mean, I was lucky, but that was the whole thing, was I think the fear of having it. And then the lingering fatigue and all that stuff, you get some COVID long haul symptoms and things like that. So I know everybody's really happy we're back now. We just can't forget the people, the thousands who died.
Yeah.
And the thousands who are still sick. I mean, it's. We hope we don't forget those because they'll, all the celebration of everybody back together at 50,000 at Dodger Stadium. Well, there's a lot more than that died of COVID.
Yeah, and when you see someone like Chris Paul, like a prominent athlete, get it, you're kind of scratching your head, why are?
I thought it was over with. Yeah. I thought it was done. It's weird. It's still around.
For that to affect, the NBA playoffs, potentially in a significant way. It's wow. It just seems like we're beyond that, but it's still.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, Ryan. I thought, wait a minute. I thought this is over with.
Yeah. Along those lines, one of the local, one of the stories here, we're going to talk a little Pac-12 football with Arizona State and that scandal and Herm Edwards. According to the reports, Pete Thamel and The Athletic, Yahoo Sports, they were reporting that, from October past their spring game, potentially through May, hosting recruits on campus when it was an NCAA dead period, and Arizona State ended up missing three games in a row with COVID protocol stuff. And when you've, we don't know, these are allegations stuff, but it seems like there's a whole dossier of, data and evidence against Arizona State. But
I got one thing to say about that. And I said it for a million years, you bring an NFL coach into a college environment, stuff like that happens. Because NFL coaches don't have patience for rules. They don't have time for rules. They don't understand rules. And I get it. They don't have to deal with rules in the NFL. College recruiting rules and everything like that, it goes over these NFL coaches' heads. They don't take them seriously. They flaunt them. And obviously there's nothing being proven there, but you've got an NFL coach come right from the NFL, right to the college scene. I've seen it before. It happens everywhere, and it just, I don't want to say I wouldn't be surprised, but there is a formula there for sanctions and for, penalties. And these college coaches who come from the NFL just seem to have no time for the rules. They don't understand. They don't get them. They don't follow them.
And it's an interesting one because you got like David Shaw, Oregon State's athletic director, people going on the record that normally wouldn't for something like this to be able to host recruits when other schools can't and get that competitive advantage, but also potentially put people at risk where, Arizona State missed three games and you're saying, well, you're bringing in people from all over the country to your campus. Like, was that the reason why you had these COVID outbreaks,
Yeah, they're not only flaunting the rules, they're flaunting life-saving procedures. They're risking people's lives. I mean, you're risking lives. Yeah, that's shame on them. And the NCAA will come down. If they find it to be true, they'll come down really, really hard on them. And I hope they do. I'm not a fan of the NCAA.
Yeah.
I think it should be disbanded and all that. But while they're still in place and while there are still rules, you got to follow them.
Yeah. The, big news in college football with the potential expansion of the college football playoff from 4 to 12 teams. What do you think that's, the Pac-12 has only made two of them. They haven't made a playoff since 2016. What do you feel like, expanding the playoff? I do a Pac-12 podcast and a lot of the fans, especially the Pacific Northwest fans, they don't want to see the playoff expanded. I thought it would be better for the Pac-12 to expand.
Oh, it'd be much better for the Pac-12. Just look what happened in basketball. Look what the Pac-12 is dealing from a spot of great weakness. Larry Scott ran the conference into the ground. It's really weak nationally, perception-wise. So look at what happened to college basketball. Nobody was ranked. None of them were ranked. Everybody was ignored because it's the Pac-12. It's basketball. It's football. They stink. Nobody cares. And look what the teams do. So, this will enable the Pac-12 to overcome that perception of people who go to sleep and don't watch them play, of them being on bad TV contracts, of bad starting times, and all that plays into the perception that the Pac-12 is a secondary conference. This will eliminate that. This will force the Pac-12 into the tournament, and it'll show how great it can be. I think it's tremendous. I think this 12-team thing is tremendous. I don't know why. Why would anybody be against more teams? I don't understand that.
It's so weird. The people that make the arguments are about, the Pac-12 just needs better teams. They don't deserve someone to get in there. But I like the 12 because – the way they've described it, if you're, maybe the Pac-12 is not 1 through 4 because we haven't seen that happen very much. But if you're 5 through 8, like say it's Oregon, you're hosting a playoff game. So
you get a home game.
Yeah.
You don't want to be one of the actually, you don't want to be one of the top four. I think they need to change that actually and let each of the top four host the game too and then go to the bowls for the semifinals and finals. But no, exactly. I don't know why anybody would complain about that. That's like they don't believe in themselves or something.
Yeah.
Again, the basketball showed national perception has got nothing to do when it comes to the Pac-12. It has nothing to do with reality. It really has anything to do with reality. And in this case, it'll give the Pac-12 a chance to get in there and show what it is on a prime time. I mean, the TV contract is still so bad. Aren't the starting times next year really bad still?
There's still some bad ones, yeah.
David
Shaw was mad because they have a 9 a.m. game. I think it's the Kansas State. They play Kansas State at, like, Arlington and at Jerry World. I believe that's the one. And I think it's a 9 a.m. start, like the Fox Big Noon kickoff. Do you like those? I mean,
I hate them because they should be for the I know they get a lot of viewership.
Yeah.
But it's so bad on the kids, and it's so against their body clocks, and it takes them away from at least another day of school and studying and all that. I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
I think that's let Illinois play Iowa at 9 a.m. start, and let that happen. But I'd like that. I'd like the Pac-12 to be on more mainstream networks if I can be. And I don't like the Pac-12 at night either. I don't like the Pac-12 after dark.
After dark, yeah.
I don't like those late games either.
There's a
lot. What happened to the 4 o'clock game with the sun setting over the Coliseum with the Rose Bowl? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Where do you stand as far as like USC goes? And you know, the Pac-12 perception, like you'd said, has been down for several years. I mean, how important is a powerful USC program to, you know, be the Clemson of the, you know, for ACC, you know, for the Pac-12?
It's everything, right? The Pac-12 is based, Pac-12 football is based on USC. It just is. And when it's good, the conference rises up, teams are better, coaches are better, programs try harder, and the national perception, a rising tide lifts all boats. And they need USC to do well, just like the NBA needs the Lakers to do well, and baseball needs the Dodgers to do well. I mean, that's how they rank in this town, is that the, you know, as far as the number one sports that are followed in the city, and it goes Lakers, Dodgers, USC football. It's 1, 2, 3.
Wow, okay.
And that's, oh, yeah, that's clearly – can you hear this buzzing in the background?
Yeah, that's okay, yeah. That's all right. You got a drag race going on.
Hang on 1 second. The gentleman's – doing some work outside my window.
You got stuff going on, Bill.
Finish his work. If you look at our metrics, and it's clear, it's either now it's really Dodgers. Dodgers have almost passed the Lakers up in terms of LA fan base. But wow. Dodgers, Lakers, and USC football is third. It's clearly third.
Wow.
It's ahead of the Clippers. It's ahead of the Angels. It's ahead of the UCLA basketball. It's way ahead of that. It's ahead of everything. I mean, it's tradition. It's L.A. I mean, it's symbolic. It's the most symbolic intercollegiate team in L.A. of any sport, of any school. It looks like L.A. It feels like L.A. It's all. I mean, that's why this Song Girls controversy is such a big deal.
Yeah.
Because they're the symbols. They have been long been the symbols of what USC football is, and it's L.A. So, yes, the Pac-12 desperately needs USC football to be better. It desperately needs it to compete. So does Clay Helton, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we had some – I posted on the message board on the Peristyle on USCfootball.com that I was going to have you on, and they are some questions, if you don't mind. I can ask a few from the fans, if that's okay.
Yeah, no. They love me on the message board. Not.
There's
some- why do they think – USC fans have to know that every UCLA fan thinks I love USC, and every USC fan thinks I love UCLA. So I know I'm doing my job.
It's funny because someone actually asked that question, like, why is the LA Times biased towards UCLA? But if you read UCLA's site, they think it's biased the other way.
That means we're doing our job.
It's a unique experience because there's two major universities that have, you know, each over 100 national championships in different sports covered by, you know, the same newspaper. So there's always going to be this perception of bias from both sides. But it's funny.
It's the only place in the country where if you write a nice story about the huge college team in your market, half the town hates you. Immediately, half the town hates you.
That's
whether you do USC. Yeah, I mean, it's just half the town is not going to read it. It's not going to agree with it. It's not going to like you for writing it.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. It's just cool. I love that. I love the environment. I love it. And it is. And the lines are pretty clear. USC football, UCLA basketball. USC basketball, I'm sorry. Andy Enfield, it just doesn't register. And UCLA football just doesn't register, especially Chip Kelly's doing so terrible over there.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
So Super Trojan 5 wrote in, and it was kind of along the lines of what you were just talking about. He said, at one time, USC football under Pete Carroll was the second most popular LA sports teams after the Lakers. Do you think that USC football can reach that popularity ever again with the NFL now in Los Angeles and both the Lakers and Dodgers doing well?
Oh, that's – yeah, I should have said it. It's ahead of the NFL by a large margin.
Really?
The NFL in general is big, but the Rams and Chargers, no. USC football is definitely – USC football is still our team. I think – I mean, the Rams went to a Super Bowl, and USC football is still our team. I'm judging based on the metrics, which we follow, which run our paper, which help us make money, So it's an important statistic that I'm talking about, that we look at. Conversions, page views, length of time spent with stories, all this stuff adds up to USC football is huge. And it hasn't lost its sway. People like to read it if it's bad. I mean, you know, you bash Clay Helton, you get a lot of readership. You bash, you praise Clay Helton, you get a lot of readership. You know, USC football, that's one thing they don't understand. They don't need to do anything but win. They don't need to be flashy. They don't need to sell anything. They're already ensconced in this town as the number one. I don't know about you, Ryan. I don't see the Rams passing them up in the near future. I mean, maybe if they win a Super Bowl at SoFi, maybe, but I don't think so. USC has so much tradition.
Yeah.
And for so many years, it was our team.
I'm curious to see what SoFi does for the Rams, you know, because that's such an amazing venue there, you know?
Yeah, no, I think SoFi will actually do more for the Chargers than the Rams.
Oh.
Because it will make the Chargers look like a real team.
Yeah.
It did last year look like a real team. But no, USC football, to answer the question, USC football is still, it's number three in this town between Dodgers and Lakers. It's never going to pass up Dodgers or Lakers because those are more all-encompassing, you know, more neighborhoods, more farther reach. But USC football is third and will stay third for the foreseeable future.
You write a lot of columns. There's a lot of opinions out there. When fans get upset about stuff, I can't tell you how many people brought up your Westwood Ho column from 2001.
I love it. I am so honored that I could write something that I have heard that. I've been in airports in Miami, Florida at 6 in the morning, and someone walks by and says, Westwood Ho. You know, that was 15, what was it,
2001.
2001. So it was 20 years ago. And I love that people, and you know what, Ryan, I will say this again and again and again. When I wrote that, it was correct. When I wrote it, the moment I wrote it, now, a week later, it all went to hell.
Yeah.
But the moment I typed those words in there, I typed the sun is shining, the sun was shining.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it right for about a week. Then it's been wrong for the next 20 years.
Nice.
But I am honored that people remember. No, it didn't. And that wasn't ever – Westwood Ho was the headline.
Yeah.
The story was much more egregious than that. So I'm glad they only remember Westwood Ho.
Yeah.
But I'm honored when somebody does that. I'm actually honored that people remember. I mean, that means I have impacted legacy in this town, right? I mean, I've been around. You got to be around a long time for somebody to remember a column you wrote 20 years ago.
That's pretty funny.
But I'm telling you, Bob Toledo had it going. Bob Toledo had it going, man.
He was fun.
And we didn't see it. Come on, Brian. You didn't see Pete Carroll his first year. Where you can let's be honest. Tell me, be honest. A, did you agree with his hiring? And B, did you think after 1 year he'd do what he did?
Yes, my dad was a big Patriots fan, and he's like, you know, I think Pete Carroll's going to be good because he's just like this rah rah guy. He's more of a college guy. So I was kind of optimistic, but I was like, you know, he's got fired from two NFL teams. But yeah, it looked like UCLA. I mean, there was like the 8-game winning streak, all that stuff in the 90s. So yeah, it seemed like it was. Tilting the other way.
I was driving. I was in Louisiana doing an NFL story, and I get a call on this car phone just after Pete got hired that day, and it was Pete. And he called and he said, I heard you don't like my hire. Why don't you like me? And he had just gotten in. I said, I just don't think you're an NFL coach. You're not a college coach. You were the third choice. So I didn't support the hiring, and I didn't think after a year he would do it, and I was wrong. But USC fans got to realize – once they got good, I all plaudits to them. I wrote all those columns, the national championship columns. I covered every one of those games. I praised them to the high heavens. But, yes, Westwood Ho, at the time I wrote it, Westwood Ho was actually true. Again, only for a few minutes, but those few minutes, it was true.
We had a question from Gate Call. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of Southern California sports journalists?
Sports journalist. Oh, they're going to say sports figures.
Oh, yeah. No, it's sports journalist.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore of Southern California sports figures, Ryan? Who'd be the four?
Sports figures. Okay. So you're just turning around.
Jackie Robb. To me, Jackie Robinson's got to be on there.
I think Jackie Robinson.
He went to high school right down the street from where I live. So Jackie Robinson's got to be on there.
I think Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson's got to be on there. Does Sandy Koufax?
Yeah, you'd probably I'm trying to think of a Dodger, it'd probably have to be Koufax. Like, you wouldn't put Oral or I don't know. I think
does John Robinson got to be on there? Or does Pete Carroll have to be on there?
Pete Carroll could.
Greatest coach, maybe greatest college coach of all time during that stretch.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's I mean,
well, as far as journalists, it would be Jim Murray, of course, the guy that I replaced. For the first 5 years of my job, my name was You're No Jim Murray. That's who I thought I was. That's who I thought I was. You're No Jim Murray.
Yeah.
Jim Murray, Alan Malamud.
Yeah.
Who was our great Melvin Derslag of the Herald Examiner.
I read a book. I think it was it him? I forget his name. There was like his son wrote this book about him. I think he was, man, I can't even remember his name right now.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. What's his name?
Oh, the Steamer. The Steamer.
The Steamer. Yeah. The Bud Ferrillo.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got the book. I think the book right there. Yeah. Bud Ferrillo. Yeah. So his son, actually,
USC fan. If we can't recall his name, he probably should be on Mount
Rushmore. That's just me. I'm just, you know.
And put Jim Hill up there.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing it for a long time. Yeah.
Fred Rogan gets so mad. Fred Rogan calls himself the dean, and he says, you're on the air with the dean. I said, where's Jim Hill? And Fred Rogan gets mad about that. Jim Hill's everywhere.
Yeah. Big Louie wants to know, who's your favorite all-time Trojan?
Oh, that's a great question, too. That's a really great question. It'd probably be from my dealings with him. Probably, you know what? When Carson Palmer won the Heisman, he called me from New York.
That's cool.
Moments after, and thanked me for covering him. Because I'm the one that wrote, the West Coast hadn't had a Heisman winner in 15 years. This is wrong. It's biased. East Coast bias. Right? Give it to Carson. So he called me and thanked me for that. And I'll never forget that. So probably Carson Palmer. Although nice. Matt Leiner was always really good to deal with, you know, and really good to deal with. And I like Lindale White because he's honest. He's so honest.
Much personality, yeah.
But if he only ran the wrong, so are we in agreement? He went to the wrong hole.
I think so. Yeah.
That but was it.
Not having Reggie on the field though, that was a little weird.
Thank you. That's what we've been saying for 100 years.
We got your video's looking a little weird there, Bill. I don't know what's going on, but that's all right. Well, we're almost done here. I will let you go. But a couple more. The Mac on the peristyle says, do you think there's a minimum bar this season that Clay Helton needs to achieve to retain his job? And is it more complicated than that, or do you even think that Clay Helton's job is in jeopardy?
Gosh, dang it. That's a great question. Yeah, I want to say he's got to get to the Rose Bowl or win the conference.
Yeah, but I would agree. I think he has to win the conference.
Yeah, I think he's got to win the conference because I think at this point the buyout's not as much and you know, Mike Bone's giving him all the time in the world and, you know, and he's the nicest coach ever. And I gotta say that. He's great. When I was sick, he texted me.
Oh, nice.
When I wrote a column on Mother's Day, he texted me to congratulate my mom. I mean, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
So I'm openly cheering for him. I mean, I'm saying that. I'm cheering for him. People want him to lose because they want him to get fired.
Yeah.
I hope only the best for him. But I just don't see it lasting if he doesn't get by that to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Mark 7 from SC. What do you think about USC running the air raid offense?
Well, has it made Slovis a better quarterback? Or has it made him more of a careless quarterback? I'd like to see him run the ball more.
Yeah.
Everybody would. That kid, I love that kid that transferred. How do you pronounce his last name? Step?
Jackson. Oh, Marquis Step?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the running back that transferred out to Nebraska. Yes. Yeah, Marquis yes. Step. I know.
I like his style of play more.
Yeah.
So I wish they'd ran the – I wish they'd run the ball more. And I hear this from a lot of old-time USC fans, some of the old-time guys, that they should pound it more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they should run it more and get back to more old-fashioned USC football.
I think a lot of fans agree with you there. We'll do two more and let you go. I know you got to get to the Clippers stuff. Sailor Gabe says, should USC go independent and sign some kind of streaming deal with YouTube TV or something like that?
Yes, yes, yes. I have said that a million times. They're bigger than the Pac-12. We should just talk about the Pac-12 needing them, and I should have said that earlier. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, they should go independent. They don't need to. The Pac-12 is they're way beyond the Pac-12. They don't need to be in. I'm sorry, they don't need to be in Oregon State's TV rights world. They don't need to be in Washington State's, you know, orbit. They should be independent, just like Notre Dame. Cut their own deal. It would be huge. It'd be bigger than Notre Dame. It'd be the biggest thing in college sports. And I wonder if Mike Bone's not planning on doing that one day. They can't say that.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? I think they should go independent. Oh, absolutely. Because they're so much bigger than the conference. They've outgrown the conference.
I think you have to at least explore it, right? I mean, just go out there and look and see, like, okay, instead of us getting the same TV deal as Oregon State, and if the Pac-12 was doing well and you were getting $50 million a year, like you're in the Big Ten or the SEC or whatever, like, okay, like, but you're not. And I feel like it's worth at least exploring. And I think USC has to, like, you know, be more nationally prominent, like they haven't been, but they have that potential. If they get back up there, that's something they can at least look into. And
they're a national brand. They're the one that the Pac-12 is one national brand.
Yeah.
It's even more so than UCLA basketball, USC football. That sport, that school, that team is the one national brand in that conference. They don't need a conference anymore. And I'm sure this new commissioner is going to probably be trying to kiss USC's butt to try to make sure to keep them happy. But, yeah, no, I think going independent, absolutely. Yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to miss seeing them play Arizona on Saturday night at 10 o'clock at night in the middle of November, right? I don't care about that.
Yeah,
I want to see them play a national schedule. And more than any, Alabama's got the SEC around. SEC is good. Clemson's still kind of a Johnny-come-lately. They haven't been that great for that long. USC's been great for so long. They've established themselves as the cornerstone. Okay. Control your own fate. Go independent.
Do you like the job that Mike Bone's done so far? I mean, some good hires. You know, Lindsey Gottlieb, I think it's a really interesting one. Obviously, the fans want him to hire for a football coach, but you know, just having three former football players in a row, I just really felt they needed an actual.
I think he's done a great job.
You know?
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. He's got a great plan. He's taking it slow. He's not making rash decisions. He's not going to fire Clay Hill unless he has a replacement. He's not going to fire Andy Enfield unless he has a replacement. Where Andy Enfield got mad at me, Andy Enfield thought I was implying that he was going to get fired this year if he didn't get to the Final Four. But of course he wasn't. But I think his fingers on all those pulses, and I think he's doing, yes, and he's made some good surrounding hires. He's done a good job of the Coliseum. And I think he's done, but ultimately he'll be judged by the football team.
Yeah.
Mike Garrett, wacky athletic director, but great athletic director because they do what he hired Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Pat Hayden, not so much. He'll be judged by how the football team does. And that's ultimately his decision. So that'll be his big thing. Ask me that question 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And we'll see how Clay does and how Mike treats out, right? That's how anybody's going to judge him. I love the diversity in sports and I love gender equity, but the average fan doesn't judge a coach by what the water polo team does.
Yeah.
What the track and field team does. I mean, they judge an AD. They judge them by the football team.
Yeah. We got two quick ones. Banff 95 had a couple interesting ones for you. Was TJ Simers nuts or was that just his style?
Both. But he was great. You know what? I miss TJ. I miss him. I miss his acerbic style. He'd drive me crazy sometimes.
Was there like a rivalry at all between you guys or like?
Here's the deal. He tried to create one. He thought it would be good for our sales. If he was page two, I was page one. He was fighting me. But I never fought. So he took a lot of shots against me. Uh-huh. I thought it'd work better if I didn't. I never fired back. I never fired back because I was page one. So I was going to fire back and look like I'm picking on poor page two. So, uh-huh. Yes, I think he tried to create a rivalry between us. But he's one of the best journalists I've ever been around. And he did have a shtick that rubbed people the wrong way, including myself sometimes. But he was a damn good journalist. Yeah. And he asked great questions. He had great judgment. And the only thing that's sad about it is that got clouded sometimes by some of the shtick.
Yeah.
But he was he is one of the best journalists I've ever worked with, to be honest with you. He's a tremendous, tremendous newspaper guy. Man or person, just tremendous.
Where is he now? Is he
retired? He's retired.
He retired. Okay.
He retired. And he deserves it. But I'd love to see him. I miss him. I miss seeing his stuff. I miss something happens and I miss him taking on these coaches one on one in press conferences. I miss that.
Yeah. And then the one last one from Banff, he was like, did you play any sports growing up?
I had too much imagination to play sports. I'd be playing baseball, a fly ball would come to the outfield, and I would think, okay, if I catch it, it's going to be a hero, but if I'm missing, it'll be a goat. What about this wind here? What about my shoes here? My imagination. I had too much imagination to play sports. A and B, I sucked. So those are the two reasons. But I don't think you need to play sports to be a sports writer any more than you need to run for office to cover politics.
Yeah.
Or to have to be in the movies to cover movie stars. You just need to know people. That's got nothing to do with playing sports. Because I know that's what he's getting. I know that's what that fan is getting at.
Yeah.
He never played sports. I know that's what some people are. I mean, I don't think people say that anymore, but they do. Just look at your political writers, look at your Hollywood writers. You just need to know people.
Yeah.
I think. And understand, know how, you know, understand the human condition and can sympathize with it. That's what sports is. Sports is about, is a mirror on a human condition. It's a prism on triumph and failure and fighting and perseverance. And it's, you know, it's all that. We can watch all that in real time. That's why we love sports.
Yeah.
Because it reminds us, makes us feel something about ourselves. So I think if you recognize that, you can write sports.
Yeah. It's funny because people get critical of former athletes or coaches. Like they'll say, oh, Tony Romo, he was terrible. He said this or whatever. He was a bad quarterback. Like, what does he know if he's criticizing like Patrick Mahomes? Like, well, I mean, it's just the fact that you played, you were in those meetings. You've
got, oh my God. Yes. Are you kidding me?
But you have to judge them on what they do as an analyst or a writer or whatever. Not like, well, he struck out too many times to be, you know, to be talking about what, you know, Manny Ramirez or something is doing. You know, it's just weird when you get like critical of their former, you know, careers, but it's more about that they had that experience.
Current career.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Or so how can he rip him? And also I will never, by the way, if you notice in my columns, I never question an athlete's toughness ever, because it's just to be the last walk on the USC football team is a tough, tough dude. The last walk on the USC women's basketball team is a tough, tough athlete. Just to play sports, you got to be so tough. I have admiration for every athlete I cover at every level, because I could never do that. And it's a toughness that should be admired. So I hate it when somebody says, oh, he's a wuss or she's a quitter. You can't play sports and be that way. You just, that doesn't work. So I totally have admiration for all the athletes.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
But all thanks. Right. Well, thanks, Ryan. Have me in. I'll see you at the Coliseum.
All right. Sounds good, Bill. Brother. Thanks so much for coming on.
Take care, man.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.